The staff is in hybrid mode. Some of us go in, some of us stay home. This week, I'm in the NPR building in DC, so it's either metro or slow-rolling bicycle for me. But the trains in this town are not full the way they once were, so transit systems in much of the country are hurting, just as federal money is ending, which means DC, Boston, Los Angeles face financial cliffs in the next year, according to the group Transit Center. Let's talk now to Here and Now's transportation analyst, Seth Kaplan, about this. Hey, Seth.
Hey, Scott. Yeah, someone who used to take metro to that building where you are for every one of these segments, and now haven't been.
Right, right. Well, maybe you're part of the problem. I mean, deficits of $500 million in D.C., more than $230 million in Boston. Is this largely a work-from-home story?
Largely, yes. There are different reasons why different systems are in bad shape, but the proximate cause is just lower ridership. And generally speaking, the agencies that relied the most on people who are what some folks in the transit business call transit optional, right? People who can make choices about how to get around and who now are often not going to the office at all, are the ones who are suffering the most. There are exceptions. Los Angeles is one that, according to Governing Magazine, citing an organization called Transit Center, faces a fiscal cliff, even though it has recovered more of its ridership than other systems.
So this fiscal cliff, as I read, I think maybe a couple of the same articles, they come in the next year or so. DC ridership is only about halfway back, Boston 60% or so. So without that revenue coming in, and eventually when the federal money runs out, what are these cities going to do? Are they going to charge more? We're all already contending with high gas prices.
Right. And in fact, some have done exactly the opposite. DC, which you mentioned, one of the systems that's in the worst shape, has been looking at cutting fares, especially off-peak fares, times when they figure maybe it can lure some additional people on, you know, $2 flat fares late at night, that sort of thing. And so the calculation is, you know, is that just additional revenue, even though the fares are lower if you're getting new people on? On the other hand, if you're cutting fares for people who are riding anyway, that's revenue negative. But they're very leery about raising fares at a time when revenue has been down, because that could just put you into what they consider a death spiral, right? You raise fares and then even fewer people ride.
Oh, yeah.
Tough questions.
Yeah. Well, I imagine for some cities or states, there's new infrastructure law money that they might be able to tap into. But long term, Seth, I mean, some ridership may never come back, right? I mean, we think of these public services as things the free market doesn't necessarily provide.
Right. And important to remember that highways also are subsidized, right? They're not a free market success story either.
Yeah, yeah.
General fund dollars, you know, goes into that. So it's all a question of policy priorities. But no, you're right. Even the systems that have recovered the most, and they tend to be in smaller cities where maybe a greater percentage of riders are not those transit optional, but what you call sometimes the transit dependent, people who might not own cars, might have to go to jobs where working from home isn't an option. Even those systems are lucky to be back to 70 or 80% for systems that in many cases still have all the costs they used to have, but not all the revenue. And so they're going to have to be nimble and figure out ways to lure people on. Bus rapid transit systems in a place like Richmond is one that's been a good story. Those are the kinds of projects that systems are looking at to lure more riders.
Yeah. Figure it out, as you say. Here and Now, transportation analyst Seth Kaplan. Seth, thank you.
Scott, thank you.